Live from Liverpool, we don't need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Hello, hello, you wonderful, wonderful, dare I say, beautiful people. It is indeed time for a We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts, the episode's midweek that we're just putting together a bit of an extra during these times of lockdown. We don't say the C word around here. No, we don't.
Hello.
I'm with Rebecca.
Hi.
I'm with Becca, sorry.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello.
And obviously, the normal shows, if you've listened to this because you think, oh, I want to hear about ghosts, then find one of the episodes that is not titled We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts. I know that sounds very straightforward because the standard episodes each weekend, they are all about ghosts. These are just extra ones.
Because you know they're all about those ghosts. About those ghosts. No, no chatting.
Chatting. Well, there is chatting.
There's a bit of chatting. No rubbish. No normal.
No normal. Yeah. No just general chit-chat. Whereas these are just general chit-chat so that we've got something to do whilst we're fellowed. And you guys have got something to listen to so that you don't go mad.
That's right.
That's right. So I believe...
Right. Oh, so obviously
you've got
we're,
a little
tidbit. No, so we're being slightly lifted at the minute, aren't we? We can go up more than once.
We're not talking about C-word stuff.
Sorry, okay, all right. I was just, because you mentioned while this is going on, I thought it's pertinent to say that like stuff is changing.
Well, stuff is changing, you know, yeah.
Like at what point?
It's good news, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess. So I've just seen on Facebook someone that I have has queued up for 2 hours for the tip. What is this obsession with tips at the minute? Like, why is everyone so...
A tip? I don't know whether Americans have tips. It's basically... what would you say it is?
So, tips...
It's another word for tip.
Well, would they call a skip?
I don't know.
So, let's say yes to that.
I mean, they
so
know
a tip
what a
is a
rubbish
place
tip
with loads
is.
Of giant skips. Like a... So, not where you take the garbage, where you take stuff that's too big to go into your garbage, isn't it, really?
Yeah. So, basically, we still have bin men in the UK, you know, but, yeah. Like... Now and again, if you're in between the bin men coming and you've got, like, you've just done redecorated room and you've got, like, I don't know.
Why are you so long-winded and don't know what?
And maybe you've got a maiden, maybe you've got a broken table. No, just, maybe you've got okay. A snap television.
Yeah,
snap
like
television? Maybe you've got
like, we always take our Christmas tree to the tip to be
yes.
Recycled because
yes,
they have a recycling Christmas tree thing, don't they? See, I don't see going to the tip as like a day-to-day thing, usually. I don't
no.
Feel like people
go. We go about twice
go.
A year. One of them is
once
Christmas.
Once a year, and it's only Christmas. At the minute, like, who knew? Tips had such a booming trade.
I know.
Like, literally, they've just opened. A queue for 2 hours? I can't get... I don't understand how, if something has been sat there for weeks, what the sudden urgency to rush out to the tip is. I
no.
Don't get it. Why? Honestly, if we turned up and it said 2 hours, just no
but
job.
But you could argue the toss. What else is there to do? Some people love a good wait.
Do they, though?
Yeah, they do.
We've actually, like, planned our route around a tip because there were reports there was a two-hour wait for the tip.
Yeah, yeah.
So as not to get stuck into the big line of traffic. Like, I just don't get it. I don't understand why it's such a roaring, quick, let's go to the
well,
tip. Like, they're all rushing it. I don't get it.
There's always money in rubbish.
What's that supposed to mean?
I don't know. I thought it might already be a saying.
How is that relevant to people just...
I was trying to jump on the bandwagon.
It's like
there.
One of the few things where no money's changing hands at all. People just rock up, bin it, and then get off.
Yes.
Well, or they used to. They now rock up, wait for 2 hours, bin it, and get off.
Yeah. You can't just rock up. You waddle up. Anyway, thank you for that. So there you go. There's Becca's helpful tip of the day.
Tip on tips.
Tip on tips. Don't go the tip. There you go.
Yeah, just wait, innit?
Wait. Just wait, innit?
Just leave it a bit.
That's what you just said. Just wait, innit?
Just wait, innit?
Just wait, isn't it? So, I thought what we could talk about, keeping it slightly spooky today, is I read a wonderful article about a lady who goes by the name of Mary Rose Barrington recently. Now, she's dead. The end. No, and she died at like 94, I think. But basically, she was a member of the Society for Psychical Research, as is all, or as were, all good researchers back in the day. And
why don't you join?
I've never even looked into it, you know. Maybe I will, Becca. Maybe I will.
For psychic research, so does that mean people who join it are psychic, or does it mean they investigate people who are psychic?
Psychical research. Society for Psychical Research.
Okay, my previous question kind of still stands.
No, it's not just about psychics. It's about paranormal stuff.
Okay, so it's
and
not
it's probably
people
that
who
reason
can...
why I'm not a member.
So it's not people who say they can do it, it's people... investigating those who say they can do it.
Yes, people who investigate. So they'll go and investigate. Like, for example, Morris Gross was a member of the SPR.
Mm-hmm.
Society for Psychical Research. Mm. And she was a member for over 30 years. Apparently, she joined in 57, so well over 30 years. And she says she's most known for successfully recording unexplained rapping sounds from the headboard of a young boy at a family near Euston Square, London, in the year 2000.
Euston Square, we have a ghost problem.
Eusto, that's my nickname, isn't it? Eusto, Kevin Eusto. Eustace. My nickname is Eusto. Yes. Eusto, we have a problem. La. Yeah.
I got that great photo of you in Euston Underground, didn't I?
Yeah, where I just covered the end,
so it looks like Eusto.
Is that good? Yeah. I should use that more often as like profile pictures and stuff. Anyway, why she's interesting is, and I love it when I find out something new that I didn't know or a phrase that I didn't know within the paranormal sphere, and. She's got one. She invented one. You quite rightly... So basically, you corrected me on this and the magazine I got it from because she referred to them as JOTS, J-O-T-T-S.
Yeah.
And it was an acronym for just one of those things. As you quite rightly said, that's JUT.
Yes.
And it should be JUT, but no, she brought out a book called JOTS.
Yeah. Now, I mean, often with title, I think she's probably gone with capitals because usually when you're titling things... You would have the O, same as with the T, as lowercase rather than capitalised. That's probably where they've got the JOTS from. I would have still gone with JOTS, though.
Yeah, but it's J-O-T-T. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. I see what you mean. So, anyway, what she means by one of those things, by just one of those things, is what she coined as a phrase to describe one-off poltergeistal type events, which you don't side with as being paranormal because they're so incongruous to the normal everyday things that you experience. So, for example, if you're not in a haunted house, let's say if you're in a place of work where you've never even once, it's a modern building, you're there 9 to 5, it's generally chock-a-full of people, so you've never associated it with being haunted. And you put a pen down and turn around to deal with the customer, and you turn back around, the pen's gone. And turn back around to deal with the customer again, when you turn back around, the pen's back where it was. You wouldn't register that as a paranormal phenomenon. You'd rationalise it immediately because there's no previous history or mention of it being haunted. You haven't experienced anything other and nothing else happens in the upcoming month or week.
Mm-hmm.
That makes you think, hey, that's twice now. So it's a one-off. It's just one of those things.
Right.
So she's saying, and quite rightly, that you know, these. If you look at these do need to be recorded and treated as what they are just because we haven't... You know, we haven't associated them with the paranormal does not necessarily mean that they're not. And, you know, she goes on to say, also part of her theory is the whole, it's not a new thing about, like, you know, things getting moved around. Poltergeist activity creeping up due to human powers or human feelings and emotions. That's not a new theory. But she relates that to some of these JOTS and says, you know, it'll be times of, for example, there's a woman in it who... apparently, she was pregnant. She gave birth to a baby, and she had a really bad after thing, you know. What do you call it?
Postpartum.
Postpartum depression she had, yeah. And then she fell pregnant again. And apparently, this is in the 50s, the doctor convinced her to have an abortion because he said, if you don't, you'll suffer worse with it, and you could end up in an asylum. And apparently, he was very forceful with her and, like, slammed his fist down on the table to say, you know, you're not thinking about yourself and... This is going to be disastrous for everyone concerned.
But didn't it take a load of meetings as well?
Yeah. Like, for her to be convinced.
Continually pushing her into it.
Yeah, and then eventually she was convinced. But...
Well, I wouldn't even go as far as convinced. Maybe she just threatened into it. Yeah. Agreed, like finally conceded.
But then apparently...
It's an awful story.
Like her husband went and cut down some bush and burnt it in the back garden, right? Just doing general gardening. And the next night, or that night even, things started flying off shelves and stuff started falling down. And then nothing happened then for about another year or something. And then he'd done something else in the garden, trimmed a bush or something. And then that night, things flew off. And this woman, whose name was Mary Rose Barrington, the investigator, she surmised that, and mentioned to the woman, you know, maybe this is because... You've had an experience with, like, an aggressive, domineering man. So because the man is going out and attacking your favourite bush, you're having an inverse reaction that's creating this outward phenomena. And the woman apparently turned around and said, no, I think you're right. I think I am causing this. But I think it's because I've got an issue with seeing things that are growing.
I was just going to say life, yeah. A man attacking life, yeah.
And the researcher was a bit shocked by it. She said she didn't realise that that's what it would be.
Mm, that's an awful story, that. It's just horrible, isn't it, how little agency women used to have with doctors and things. Yeah. Like, literally, the doctor would discuss the patient with the patient's husband without the patient being present. And, like,
yeah.
And they decide between them whether or not to tell her or how much to tell her about what she had herself.
I mean, we're saying how little they used to have. You know, isn't it like... to be honest, I should know this because it's literally 20 minutes away on a plane. But what's the situation with abortions in Ireland now? I'm sure that they're only either recently legalised.
Oh, yeah. I don't know which way that
went.
Or
they're still illegal. I think they have been legalised now.
There was a huge demand, wasn't there, for like people to take? Because it was just awful that women had to come over to England.
Yeah,
to
but it's only been in the last like 5 years that anything's changed, really, if it has.
Yeah, it's true.
So, yeah, so that quickly went from ghosts to... abortions in Ireland, which was weird.
I know. Apparently, it still can kind of happen there, though. There's with certain like female like conditions, like particularly things to do with the ovaries and that, like women will still go in, and the doctors just like won't believe them on things, and these like women have like gone for years and years and years, and then they finally get a diagnosis from someone else who's like bothered to look. Can you believe like that still happens to this day? It's just like absolutely horrendous. You know what I mean? Like there's just the idea that if I went in with pains and you went in with pains, yours will be more thoroughly addressed and mine will just be out, you know, just hysterical woman kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, but there is a bit of truth in that because I do have an exceptionally high tolerance
for
pain.
Don't you think you have an exceptionally high tolerance for pain? Now, I will self-admit, this has got nothing to do with being a woman. I have a low tolerance for pain. Mm. I am an absolute wimp. I will, you know, when people are like, oh, no, I'm all right. I'll tell them, I won't be all right. I'm going to, if you can try and give me an injection, it's going to be tough for both of us. I want to do it in my head, but, you know, I'm like, and I'm an absolute wimp. You have a normal tolerance for pain. And you think you have the highest tolerance. So Kev's thrown his back out more times than I like to admit, considering his age. It's ridiculous. Yeah. And, oh, my God, when it goes out, oh, the world stops.
Hold on. That's not fair. That time I had to be, like, carried to the hospital.
Exactly.
I couldn't move.
Right. Yeah, I know. And it is bad. It is terrible when it happens. But it's such a fucking nuisance when it happens because you can't go. But the way, so he sat there in the hospital, and in fairness, he is in agony, right? His back's completely gone, and we sat there waiting for, it was a couple of hours,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's to explain it, it's not just like, oh, my back's gone, but I'm all right in certain positions. There's been twice now when it's gone, and when it's gone, I've been hospitalised both times with it, haven't I? Because it's like...
I mean, not hospitalised. Hospitalized,
I went to hospital.
Yeah, you've gone to hospital, they've given you medicine, they've sent you away.
Yeah, but
hospitalised,
I mean, like,
means you've been told to stay in hospital. You've never been hospitalised.
But, like, there's no comfortable position.
Admit you've never been hospitalised.
No, but there was that time when I was stayed in overnight.
But still, even then, we weren't really there overnight. We were just waiting for the doctor. We were just there for so long because it was so busy because it was a Friday night.
Technically overnight.
Yeah, but you weren't hospitalised. But so we sat in the waiting room at one of these famous days. And Kev's like, and he's going, Becky, don't understand. If this was anyone else in this amount of pain, they'd be on the floor. They'd be shrieking. I'm just not being seen because I'm being so brave with it. But honestly, no one else could handle this amount of pain I'm in. And like, dead straight face, I mean, some could say you're just being too brave. And he was like, I am being too brave.
But you know what? I stand by that because it's like, you know, there's been a few times, like, yeah, for example, when I had that effing corneal ulcer the other week.
Ugh, yeah.
And it was horrible and it stung, and like looking at a bright light caused a searing pain going right through my head. And you go to the eye hospital, and because we've got an eye hospital in Liverpool, yes, and you go there and you sit down in the waiting room to be seen, and it's NHS and it's wonderful, it's all free and it's magnificent, and you sat there waiting to be seen, and you're seen on an urgency basis. So I'm sat there genuinely in pain, but I'm a grown man, something, and I'm not going to sit there going And some fella came in and was like, holding the side of his face. And you just knew he was of the mindset of, I'm just going to scream in pain because I'll be seeing quicker. And he was.
You've got a mate like that.
I have got a mate like that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you as well, I've got my mate's dad, right?
Hmm.
He used that very, listen to this. This is a little bit of a, oh my God, story. He went into, we've got, in England, we've got things called walk-in centres. So basically, if you can't get an appointment with your doctor, but you need to seek medical care, but it's not urgent enough to go and wait at the accidents and emergency in a hospital, you can go to a walk-in centre, and in the walk-in centre, they'll give you a quick triage and say either, you know, go home, or you're fine, see your doctor when
or prescribe medication or something. Yeah, it's like kind of like a halfway house, isn't it? Yeah. Like if you can't wait to see your doctor, but it's not emergency as an accident emergency, like say you had a sprained wrist or something, you know, you
Or they can also send you to the hospital if they think. So it's a very good service. But anyway, he works for himself, he's a white scotsman, and he went into there because he had a pain in his shoulder. And he went in, he said, and it was rammed full of people. He said, and there was a sign up, like, on the electric board saying, like, 3 hour wait. And he was like, oh, fucking hell, I'm not waiting for that, because he had jobs on in the afternoon. So he gets to the desk, and on the form that you fill in or something, it was like, you had to fill in, do you have any palpitations in your heart or something? And then something next to it to say, you know, like, this will be treated as a priority, don't worry sort of thing. So we ticked yes for that, thinking, well, I'm going to get bumped to the front of the queue.
That's disgusting, though.
It is disgusting, but listen to this. You give the form in. So they went, called his name. So he went in, had the test done, got rushed to hospital and had to have a heart bypass the next day.
Why?
Because this pain in the shoulder was what's the word for it? Not transferable pain. Oh, what's it called? Radio something pain, where it means like, you know, you could have a sore tooth, but you'll have a sore elbow.
Right, okay.
Or you'll have a bad tooth, but you get a sore elbow. So basically, this sore shoulder was symptomatic of a bad heart. And when, because he took the thing saying, I'm having heart palpitations, they give him a bog standard heart test, heard a malfunction at the junction, and 2 days later, he had a heart bypass.
Bloody hell.
And they said, like, if you didn't come in, You were a time bomb, like you could have been dropping dead any minute.
Crikey. I mean, that's not a story to say, so always lie.
No, it's not a story to say, always lie.
Do you think there was any part of him subconsciously that knew, even though he didn't want to say, you know what I mean? Like, do you think he was saying his shoulder, and he felt it in his shoulder, but when he saw it, he thought, you know what, my chest doesn't feel quite right.
Yeah.
And he put it down, and he kind of said, oh, I just wanted to skip the queue, you know me, I'm not waiting around for that. Possibly. But in actual fact, he thought there was something there.
Possibly, but it does make you think, doesn't it? It's like, you know.
Yeah. Do you remember that time your back went out in the Indian restaurant?
Yeah.
So you sat there having a nice meal.
Because I tried to pick up
your wine glass. Yeah. Back went. Oh, that was a nightmare. That in the middle of Liverpool City Centre, on a street where the cars can't get quite, like, all the way down.
So you couldn't get an ambulance.
The staff were really, we were kind of regulars there, weren't we? We'd been going for a while, so we knew them a bit, like, just by faces.
Yeah.
They were brilliant with you, weren't they? But the toilets, it like this old building, the toilets were downstairs, weren't they?
Yeah, and I needed to go to the toilet.
So two of them, God bless them, the owner and his son, whose son was one of the, like, head waiters, carried you down, one under each arm.
Yeah, that was humiliating.
The door, carried you back up, and then one of them, God bless them, went and got the car. Yeah, because you couldn't get, that was it, you couldn't get a taxi down that far.
Yeah.
You could only get a taxi from the top of the road. And I was like, we're never going to be able to get into the top of this road. So God bless, they came, drove us to the hospital, didn't they?
Because this is the thing, it's not when you know, you may be thinking, what, your back went out, oh, and what? Like, we watched that Dead to Me on Netflix, The Millionaire, back went out.
Yeah.
And she could walk and sit down in chairs. When mine went, the slightest movement, even like moving my arm, it's like an all-over spasm of the body takes over.
It's awful when your back goes. We have been, like, during this time, you've done one or two things where you've gone like, oh, my back, and I've got like, right, stop it. I said, we can't have your back going right now. Yeah. We just can't have it. Stop it.
Remember the first time that it went properly, and they do a test that I didn't know what was coming, and didn't know what to expect.
Yeah,
and Becca, you turned up later on,
so
didn't you?
Funny.
The
first
time. Yeah. And my face was all forlorn.
No, I was there. Remember, they sent me outside.
There?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So they said, oh, we just need to do like an examination now. And they said to me, do you just want to wait outside a second? Yeah. I said, yeah, no problem. So I stepped out. It was only the curtain, wasn't it? Stepped out behind the curtain. Waited a minute, two male nurses, weren't they, in there with you?
Yeah.
Then I came back in a minute later, he sat up on the bed, face like thunder, like genuinely really annoyed. You were right. He just stuck his finger up my fucking
stuck
ass.
His finger up my bum.
He was,
honest to God.
His face, and I was like, well, he obviously needed to do it. They haven't just done it for a laugh. After your face was so annoyed, as if, like, they were laughing about doing it. Like, yeah, this is what we'll do with
I
it.
Just couldn't
so
see.
So they obviously, because they have to check with your back, they have to check it's not, like, collapse loads of things.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's your prostate.
But at the time, it just didn't seem
so
relevant.
So funny. So, it honestly, just that face of such anger, such disgruntled.
You know,
like,
you know, like you see pervy doctors on telly and they're like, why have you got to take my pants off? You know, like, I've got a cut on my head, why have I got to take my pants off? It felt like that. He's like, you just want to take your pants off? I was like, I, one, I can't move, and two, you know, no, just shuffle them down. It's like, why? He went, we just need to check something. And he went...
He told you what they were going to do.
No, he didn't.
He did, because they said it was going to be a prostate examination. We all know.
Yes, fair enough. But then he says, if you just want to look towards the wall. He said, you're going to feel... it'll be slightly uncomfortable and it'll feel cold. And I was thinking, well, maybe you just, like, tickled your balls or something.
That... Why would they do that?
Well, you know, cough. You know, what you see in films where they grab your balls and they go cough, and you cough.
I've never seen them grab your balls and then go cough.
I'm sure you have.
Do you mean where they crouch down and say cough?
No.
When you're going into prison to make sure
well, no, I'm sure it, when I was a kid, there was a thing that...
Uh-oh. What's going on here?
No,
what's about to be
to
revealed
no,
here?
No, it never happens to me.
Don't.
School and Heighton's about to get into a lot of trouble.
I'm going to have to bleep that out. Okay. No, but... No, not never happened to me, but there was a thing where, like, I'm sure there was a thing I'd seen on films. A doctor would grab a man's balls and say, cough.
What?
And that would tell you something. Honestly, I'm not making it up.
And was this a doctor you went to?
No, it was a film I'd seen, and not a naughty film either.
No, I've never seen anything like that. The cough one I know is when people are going into prison to make sure they've not got drugs or anything up the bum, they have to crouch, and then they cough.
Yeah, no, it definitely wasn't
that.
That's
not that, that's
no,
what
no,
you're thinking.
It was okay. Like...
yeah, you're so annoyed though. It was like, really funny.
Yeah.
Like as if he'd just done it for a laugh. Like I don't know why you thought. Like of course they had to do it. I don't know why you'd.
Well, see, the annoying thing was for me is that they asked questions to do with that area as well, and I clearly answered all them right. So like, have you lost any sensation? And you, no, I haven't. You know, have you had any? No, I haven't. Has this happened? No, it hasn't. Now for me, that means so all clear. Then no need to put this finger up your bum.
They just have to check everything's where it's supposed to be.
Well, they didn't have to check it twice. And then did you notice when you came in, and then that doctor was never seen again? And they were like, oh, no, he was a patient.
Yeah, I did, yeah. And he was just going into all the...
The police are outside waiting for him because he keeps sticking his fingers up.
He's just going into all the lone men's thing.
Disgraceful.
Cubicles, doesn't he? And do you remember that second time we were in there? This was the one where it was a Friday night, like later Friday night. And there was a long wait, obviously, because it was a Friday night and it's just pandemonium, the A&A on a Friday night. Waiting for the doctor, but through the curtains on the other cubicle. Remember, we could hear that lad who'd been arrested.
Oh, yeah.
It was really funny, this, like, northern lad. He was a manc or something, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, Blackpool, I think.
Yeah. And he's, like, booing out. He's so funny with them, because he obviously thinks that he's got some sway, or, like,
yeah.
or what he says is going to have any effect on these two police officers. So he's, like, just mouthing off it, like, no, because I don't want this, and I don't... And they're like, no, you're not going anywhere. I'm all right, I don't even need this. You're not going anywhere because you're under arrest. No, it sounds right, I'm not doing that. Yeah. And he was, like, going on like this, wasn't he? And then his phone started quacking, just because his ringtone was a quack.
His ringtone was a quacking
quack. Quack.
Yeah.
And he's going, oh, I need get that, you know, I need answer that. And they're going, you're not going on your phone, you're under arrest. No, listen, right. This is me missus, yeah. And if I don't answer that, she's going to think I'm not answering because I'm with some other bird, yeah. So she's going to go and do something with some other lad.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, like, what are you not understanding about this? You are under arrest how many times? He thought because he was in the hospital, he was like a patient, like just within his own, with the usual thing. But obviously the police had taken him there.
Yeah, he thought there's no jurisdiction. You've got no jurisdiction on me in here.
Yeah, exactly,
they were like,
yeah.
We brought you here, Wally.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, so that's good. That was a nice way to spend a Friday night, mate.
Yeah. That's the only thing. I hate going to the hospital on a Friday night or a Saturday night.
Oh, no,
and unfortunately, I've been there a few times when I've received a kicking
back.
Around town or me back. So
yeah, you don't really get a kicking anymore, do you?
No,
I
haven't had a kicking for over 10 years.
Since you've been with me?
Well, just under 10 years.
Not a coincidence, that, you know.
No, it's not. It's not, is it? Mm. That's because you're a good negotiator.
Yes.
And I've had different hair. So people aren't obliged to just knock me out in the street.
No, you had your old hair for most of our relationship. That's only recently you've started growing it like that.
No, but it was longer than curly. I mean, I looked at my work pass the other day and I've got short hair on that.
Yeah, exactly. So you've had what other people would consider the more outrageous hair whilst you've been with me.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. It's a good point when you put it like that.
So you are welcome. Do you remember as well, when we were sat there, so we're there for hours, like literally hours, so I start dozing off in this chair. A couple of minutes later, he wakes me up, Beck, so I said, what, are you alright, is everything okay? Yeah, no, you fell asleep. Why, through gritted teeth, why would you wake me up? And he was like, oh, I'm sorry, I just thought you'd want to be awake, like why would you think that, it's like 3 a.m. on a Friday night.
Hello, yeah.
Let me snooze.
And there was that very nice nurse, wasn't there, who made us sandwiches at like 4.
Yeah, she was like, no, she didn't actually make a sandwich. She offered us, we didn't accept them.
She was waiting for my diazepam to kick in.
She was so relaxing, wasn't she? She was so sweet. I felt so looked after over there, and I wasn't
I think I felt so looked after because they give me like 20 milligram of diazepam, so I was a bit like...
No, it was because she was really good, because even I did. She was like, you know, when we come in, we'll tuck you in, we'll get you some food. It was just like, just wanted to curl up and be like, ah, safe now.
Yeah, I did not feel shitty that night, I remember. But only on you, I mean, because like, there's nothing wrong with you. You just went out for a meal.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, it's 4:30 in the morning. You're still awake, and you're sat next to me whilst I'm laying in bed waiting for the effects of medicine to kick in.
Yeah, and then we've got to try and get you home.
They've got to try and get me home. Yeah, remember that? And I ended up having to borrow my nan's walking stick, didn't I? I've still got it downstairs.
Yeah, I know. Like literally, like walking you actually around, had to walk with it for a while.
A 38-year-old I was, I think, walking around with a walking stick.
Yeah, I know. Dreadful. And we went like a week or two later. We went away with my family, didn't we, for the weekend. And, like there was an 80-year-old woman with us, one of my relations, and you were still the slowest of the group, like, hobbling around. And, oh, no, we'll just have a minute to let Kev have a rest.
Good times, then. Good times.
Yeah. I know. So, seriously, be more careful with your back. We can't afford to go again.
What's your volunteering plans this week? Are we going to be doing another drive around Liverpool on Friday?
Yes. So, plans this week. So, I rang the guy who I've been doing the shop for on Monday, but he doesn't need that until next week. So, I'm going to ring him again next Monday and do the shop for him on Tuesday. I'll be doing the packing tomorrow. I rang the charity today and it's 10 in the morning tomorrow again. And then on Friday we'll be doing the drop-offs of numbers.
Okay then guys, well we'll be back on Friday for another We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts. It'll be drop-offs version 3 as we drive around Liverpool and get into loads of arguments again like we do, like we tend to do, you know. Probably a load of edit punts as well because you can't seem to hold your own water, can you?
You can't hold your own water.
Whatever. They call me the dam. I hold that much water.
They call you dam because you can't hold any damn water.
Oh, I like it. I like what you've done there. You took my pun and you've made it your own.
Why are you just pulling your hair out? You literally just sat there and hair is shedding all over your shirt.
I'm not pulling it out.
Look at your hands covered in it. Like an animal.
That's right, baby. Yeah, nothing more attractive than a
lovely malting. A grey-haired
man malting all over the
lovely himself, malting animal, yeah, he's really got that animalistic quality.
Okay, but before... Oh, anyway, the point that... Bloody hell, talk about going off topic. You know the jot, getting back to that.
Oh, right, yeah.
Just one of those things. It made me think about my brother-in-law when he was tidying his and my sister's room when we all lived in my dad's. And he called me and said, I'm just shitting myself, basically. He said, look at this. And I went into his room and his cover was pulled halfway across the bed. And I went, what? He said, that wasn't like that when I've just turned around. He said, I've just literally made the bed, put all the pillows on it. He said, I turned around to get something to turn back. The cover's been pulled off. And he said, put your hand on my chest and your heart's racing. And it was. And you know Mick, he's not, you know, he's not into ghosts, is he? He's not a paranormal lover like I. And again, nothing else weird happened really, were there? Just one of those things. But... according to Mary, we should be noting these. So
that's what you were so keen on, us going back to...
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I think I'll leave you with A Strange Death, which is a story from 14 times under the title of Strange Deaths. Are you ready?
Yes.
Do you want to hear this? Because it could be quite vulgar.
What do you mean vulgar?
Okay. A teenage army cadet died from a stroke after turning his head too quickly whilst making dinner. An inquest heard that Ben Littlewood, 17, had been making sandwiches for his sister and himself when he apparently suffered an ischemic stroke in which an artery to the brain tore during a neck injury. He was found lying on the kitchen floor and was taken to hospital where he died 8 days later.
Bloody hell.
Terrible, isn't it?
17. I didn't expect that.
Yeah. And here's one more to leave you with. 5 people died and 6 were injured when a heating pipe burst in a small Russian hotel, flooding its rooms with boiling water.
Oh, God.
All the victims were guests at the 9-room hotel, situated in the basement of a residential building in Perm, near the Ural Mountains.
Oh, that's horrendous.
Isn't it?
That really deserves another.
I thought it might. That was the one. I read the other one because I thought I won't read the proper horror one.
Well, then why did you read the proper horror one?
Ah, just to get a reaction out of you. Just to give you a buzz.
Absolute scumbag. You should be ashamed of yourself. Are you proud of yourself for that?
I'm a little bit proud, yeah. Weirdly. Sorry.
You can't sing.
Now, hold on.
I heard you wailing downstairs before. It was like a scene out of Florence Foster Jenkins.
Hold on. That was... They're known as...
Awful that.
They're known as trial notes. Thank you.
It might as well be known as try notes because you tried, but you did not succeed.
Well, you know when this new album comes out and I'm making millions off it?
Yeah.
You're not getting a penny.
I am. I'm getting over 50% of it for putting off with that wailing that went on beforehand.
Over 50%? I like your starting point there. Yeah. Okay then, guys. We'll see you on Friday for a drive around the block tonight. Oh, yeah. And for you lovely Patreons who may be listening to this, we'll speak to you very shortly because we're about to record your episode too.
And what you guys will probably get is the backlash of that reading that story, even though you knew I wouldn't like it.
You probably will. Okay. Tatty bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.